Welcome to Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, the AARPG's new actual play series using the Dragonbane RPG by Free League Publishing. I'm Nathan, your host, co-GM, and I'll also be playing Brains, the idiot Wolfkin thief. Let's meet my friends and fellow cast members.
I'm Malcolm, your co-GM, and I'll also be playing Corinne Rinesmith, the judgy halfling bard.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'll be playing Dane Ringson, a human scatterbrain scholar.
I'm Chris, and I'm playing Sigyn, elfin huntress.
Hey all, this is Anthony, and I play Kurgan, and he wants to remind you,
you should go and get stuffed.
Hello everyone, this is Sean. Now we'll be playing Baylor Banefire, Dwarf Artisan Specialist.
I'm Tim, AARPG's latest temporary Double Seeker probationary player. I play Quiverwing, the enchanting mallard whose spellbinding plumage shivers like distant lightning on a moonlit night.
Together, we'll explore ancient secrets of a long-forgotten empire, facing challenges and forging our destiny in a world where every castle, cave, and crypt holds the echoes of a bygone era. Get ready for an epic journey filled with laughter, suspense, and unforgettable moments in the Misty Vale.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplaying Gamers podcast. We're going to do something different this week, and we're actually going to play a game.
Wonders never cease.
Try that on for size. See how that goes instead of our usual just regular random bullshit. But we're playing a game. We're playing a game called Dragonbane, and it's by Free League. If you're watching this, you should subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're listening to this, you should subscribe to our podcast. And Absolutely. You should also rate us. Please rate us. Give us five
rate
stars.
Us well.
Yeah.
We prefer to be highly rated.
Either give us five stars or give us nothing, because anything less than five stars just sucks. Like my camera going in and out of focus.
I never get five stars.
I thought that was just you.
Yeah, I'm phasing in and out of this universe.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. So we're playing Dragonbane. Malcolm and I are co-jamming, but he's managed to make it so that he's jamming a lot more than I am. I'm sure it's an accident.
I'm trying to change that, but we'll see.
Thanks, Malcolm.
You're the best.
I'm sure they appreciate it.
We're going to so regret this come later.
So Malcolm, we're going to hand the DM reins over to you.
Okay.
So you can put the bit in our mouths and pull on it.
So as we last left off, our heroes, in their minds, were successful.
How do you got to say it like that?
Oh, I'm an impartial narrator. Don't mind me.
What I'm hearing is hater. That's what I'm hearing.
Having gone into the deep, vast forest in the Misty Vales that lie where the Bitter Mound lied, and discovered that two guardians had remained there throughout this time since the Dragon Empire to protect possibly some secrets, but unfortunately not a fragment or part of the statue that they sought. Anyway, you guys successfully dealt with the undead protectors, collected the supplies, I guess loot, from them, and managed to get out perfectly unscathed for the most part. Well, not perfectly unscathed, but you lived, so that was good.
I think some people have to wash their trousers.
Some people will have to wash their trousers. Some Malcolm. People will not probably wash them. But having vanquished the Nameless Lady and undead Wraith Lord, you have escaped the crypt of the Bitter Mound. You did come back with a few pieces of interesting loot, as well as some other items. Having encountered a party of goblins in there, and rather instead of ending in complete bloodshed, it ended in a mutual decision to withdraw. You heard them discussing possibly going to go get some information from an oracle who may know the location of something, or perhaps has. Upon exiting the Ritter Mound, you followed the tracks and found that they went to the east. That all that you had been told, or as far as what you could find the notes you can or information, was that the oracle would lie west of your location currently in the Iron Forest. So it means going further in the through the Iron Forge to the west and somehow coming to the Oracle. What exactly or where exactly she would be, you did not know. You just know it's a she, and that is it at this point in time. And so, with that bit, we decided to trek westward through the Iron Forest with its sentinel trees reaching high above you and sometimes blocking out the very sun. But the Misty Vale, and again, is a place where the sun rarely has full rain. So it is to be expected that you find yourself on the dark brows of this great forest with its many mysteries and its unyielding nature. So it begins your trek through the Iron Forest, heading west on the basic information that you have. At this time, I would like the party that is here to choose a pathfinder. That'll be the person who will be helping discern the path that you'll be taking through this wilderness.
Ooh, pick me. Pick me. What's an oracle?
Carolyn will look at you and goes, someone can tell you the future or see things that are not present.
What do they smell like?
It depends on the oracle. Some smell like Molly. Some smell like burning rosemary. Others smell like piles of excrement.
Ooh, I think I smell an oracle.
Well, there was just one. Basically, you could tell the future, but he just made pictures of shit on the wall. Anyway, but yeah, it varies depending on the oracle. I don't know much about this one.
So who of those here has the best bushcraft?
I have a 12.
I also have a 12.
I have a 12.
That's outside of a city, so I don't really know if I can help you.
I have bushy ears.
I read several books on the subject.
Right then. Perhaps I shall lead.
So, Pathfinder, it is you who must make the bushcraft roll.
Can Siggy be helped in this regard?
Siggy can be aided.
I will be aiding Siggy.
Well, Siggy got a 5 with one roll. So we do the boom. Let's see if I can do it.
Yeah, nope. There you go. I did successfully make bushcraft to help.
I made it by 7.
Okay. The one thing that you quickly realize as you begin going through and moving through the Iron Forest, as you do find what you recognize possibly as a trail. Both you and Quivering quickly realize that certain pathway, because the giant trees are pretty tall and high in the sentinel Iron Forest, and there are some dense clumps of trees and underbrush, but there are obviously deer paths. And then there's some paths which are much larger than that, which are probably traveled by, you assume, people going through the forest. They curve in specific ways, and moving in the more flat areas where a small cart, not a huge wagon, but a small cart could go, and mounts could actually go occasionally. Occasionally you see a small clearing that has been sort of pushed out, with there being a set of stones and maybe some, maybe even some random, like, oddly wood, like, you know, drought, you know, sort of like, fell branches are lying there. They haven't been cut, like they fell from the tree, have been sort of gathered nearby. The other thing that you've noticed with that roll is that for every single little stopping area, there is an obvious place where someone could sit and watch. But along the path and along the sort of trail that you come, there are also places where a skillful but well-hidden person could watch the path. You think this more unlikely, so is the hand of your people, your kin, Siggy, making certain that people don't venture too far off the path in the Iron Forest. And those who are unaware of its dangers and what it may hold. Obviously, he will for hunting and so forth, but not too far, and it won't be too hard to go back and find this easily almost pre-made path through it. It doesn't always go straight, most certainly, and there are many branches and varying qualities, but you are able to easily navigate a path westward because of this.
Are there any signs of the goblins? Are we...
They went east.
Oh.
In a direction, they went east. They went east and southward, so shake them sort of through the mines, most of the same mounds you guys came through, they're going back south and west that way. out of them. And pretty much your travel for about for the most of the rest of the day is uneventful and rather pleasant. Mm. With, you know, singing and camaraderie between the rest of you and no particular difficulties that you encounter. And then, of course, night does come as it does, and the sun sets and the mist gather in the dark veils, in the veil as it does between the trees, moving like small gossamer ghost, billowing up every once in a while. But you are able to use, if you wish to, use one of the clearings that have been provided for you. And it shouldn't be no difficulty setting up a tent and getting a fire started before the sun is fully set, if you wish to.
I think we should camp.
Hey, Brains, did you keep that hammer from you did?
Yeah.
Did you want me to sense magic on it?
Well, what do you mean? What?
Would you like me to see if it's enchanted?
Oh. Yeah, I bet it's enchanted.
I bet it is too. Want me to check?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will run sense magic on the hammer. I rolled a 6. I have animus at 15. No, 16.
I see.
It takes a stretch to do that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be so that you should be fine with your evening sleep at the start of your shift. I mean, start before you guys bed down. You'll be able to pull that off. A stretch is going back 15 minutes, so
okay.
You'll be able to do that.
No so problem. Then I'll set up the camp first.
Well, he's doing that. I would like to try and seek out a companion animal.
Oh, okay. I was like, you're the choices are limited, but you know,
companion animal.
While they're doing that, I'll make food.
Yeah.
All right.
Turnip stew.
Hetchman's rule beast is not particularly interested in, since he's had plenty of turnips. He shared them most of the way and then started grazing from here to there. Which, it's odd. The things he sort of reach over and grab on the side of the trail didn't seem the most appetizing bushes, but he'd seem to be fine with grabbing and eating them.
So, actually, I guess I'll try and see if I can scrounge up a rabbit or, you know, a bird or something for food.
Okay. All right.
I have not looked up the hunting rules, so I'm sure.
No, basically, you need to make a hunting and fishing skill roll to track the animal. And you just make a second roll with your using, tying with your weapon. You can use your weapon skill or the hunting fishing skill if you use a trap.
I failed my first roll, so okay. I cannot find anything.
You cannot find anything.
Watch it.
I could, because I'd be angry. Yeah, why not? I'll push.
Ooh, okay.
It.
Don't hunt angry.
And cooking just takes a bushcraft roll.
Bushcraft. Okay.
I made the second one, and then I roll it again to see what I find, or what I missed the second part.
Yes, you can roll again.
I make my bushcraft roll.
Well, actually, what we should do, Nathan, is you make your roll to track the animal, then you make a weapons roll or a hunting roll to try and a weapons roll to try and hit to actually strike the animal. Okay. No more roll, beacon roll, but either way, it's fine.
So I did a
it's a D6.
I had the short bow, and okay. I rolled a 14 for my second roll, that which is exactly what my bow is. So
okay,
D6. I got a 5.
Oh, good. Good that you succeeded. That's why you probably should roll the animal before you roll your die, before you roll your weapons roll. I forgot. It is there. So it's a boar.
Oh, shit.
A boar is one of the animals that attacks if the hunter fails, rolls fail.
So, but it also has hit points.
Yeah. You're able to bring down the boar, and you're angry and frustrated with all the frustration of trying to catch him and catch him cornered. And he was very, very, he was not very into being your meal, anyone's meal. Mm-hmm. And
he nearly got gored twice, but got him in the end. Yeah. And when you bring him back to camp,
I drop it down next to the fire pit.
Looking at what he's brought you, you think you could possibly get maybe as many as 7 rations of meat.
Oh, lovely. I will begin to prepare it.
Okay.
Hopefully the boar wasn't the animal I was trying to find to make my companion.
Look, it's one of Siggy's friends. Hi, Siggy's friend.
This little piggy went to the market. This little piggy never went home. I did a good job, didn't I?
Great job, Brains did an amazing job.
It almost gored me twice, but I like dodged it, and then I stabbed it through the eye with my knife, and then I stabbed it through the other eye with my knife.
Yeah, because they just kept going.
You can see both eyes are intact. It has like a bunch of arrows in it. Yeah, it was really tough, man. It was this is like a werebore, right? This looks pretty big, right?
Good job, Brains. You're a good boy.
It's possibly a giant boar, I think.
You're a good boy. Good job, Brains. Says the duck.
So that actually gives us one extra food ration.
Breakfast. We have bacon for breakfast.
I feel like I should make something out of those boar teeth for you.
So is it like what time of day is it now?
This is now. It's going to be like the sun. I mean, you were saying at the camp before dusk, because before, you know, you wanted to do that before the sunset. So you're hunting. Since you weren't a part of setting up the camp, you probably could have left off and broke off to do that early. Just as, you know, Siggy did as well, to go find her companion. So you come back just before dusk, because they've already set up to get it super dark. Siggy, you go out into the forest, reaching out, using your power, seeking to communicate and activate a connection with an animal. You stretch out your hands and your very being, and it flows out into the wood, and the wood calls back. It is not a roaring voice. It is not a strong and heavy voice, but rather mild and cunning one. And soon a fox comes slipping around the tree.
Oh, brilliant. I will, kneel down, let it approach at its own pace.
He's reluctant as it moves left and right before advancing, moving from small bit of underbrush to a, you know, log over here, and then slipping closer before moving up and smelling you deeply. Its ears go back at first and then rise up, and then moves in closer, unafraid.
And then I slip it a ration and give it a scratch of the ears.
It seems to enjoy both of those immensely.
Excellent.
And your companion has been found.
Woohoo!
Do you need the stats for a fox, or?
No, I have it up. It's 6 hit points, movement 10, blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Okay. Right. I will have you come up with a name, otherwise. A name for him, otherwise, yeah.
I'll come up with one when he comes to me. Just give me a...
There's no need for a rush. You have looked over the light warhammer that's set with jewels. As you were told by the dwarf, it appears to be a master craftsman of work. It requires some strength, but it would definitely be great in durability. Quivering, but you cast the incantation. moving your feathers over it, whispering the secret words, ushering in the mana from below and above to respond to your command. The Warhammer is indeed enchanted. And you even know its name, thanks to Dane, which makes it easier to cast a spell as far as what it can do. Fiend Crusher. Well, in all aspects, is a very well and beautifully made light Warhammer. It is the jewel that is in it. It glows red whenever the bearer is within 10 meters of a demon, notifying them of an adversary of chaos is close at hand.
An adversary of chaos, or I mean, an adversary that is chaotic?
An adversary that is chaos. Sorry, that's
what okay. All right, yeah, all right. Good point. So either a demon or a chaos-aligned person.
Yeah, but usually that's a demon. It's mostly so it's a sort of demon detection. Okay, right. And it is called Fiend Crusher. It requires a strength of 7 and has a durability of 15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you want to have a sense of scale as far as that, a regular light Warhammer usually has a durability of 12.
So this is a finely made, highly durable, and enchanted hammer.
Mm. Yes.
I'll let him know. You said that the dwarf has already told him the name of the hammer?
No, the dwarf told him it was a master crafter. Ah, it was Dane who told him the name, because the lady had ushered it as a part of her title, that she was the wielder of Fiend Crusher.
Mm. Fiend Crusher. Mm. So Fiend Crusher has the ability to glow red when you meet a chaotic person, meaning somebody who's like basically evil. Just put it in brain's terms.
Okay. I might change the name. Maybe like Stain.
We should not let.
Not sure how you do brains. That.
Perhaps maybe that shouldn't be the. You shouldn't be the one wielding it.
We're Thunk. So that's the sound it makes when I hit the lady. Thunk.
Isn't that the past tense of think?
Mm.
I thunk it to be true.
I feel that is something he hasn't much worried about in the past.
That's true.
Dana, while he's stirring this the soup, he'll just absolutely mind you point over to the golden chain that he's hung up on the tree there and goes, I put that on originally, but I'm not sure I should wear it.
Why not?
What is it?
I mean, that's an armor for a warrior. I'm a scholar.
It's a gilded chainmail. It is light and flexible.
Well, if nobody else wants it, I'll wear it, but...
I mean, the dwarf will say it is fine craftsmanship as well. There was great care in the nature of how they set their rings.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The way that this is written, sense magic. You can sense whether the place you're in or an item you're holding is affected by magic. And if so, what kind of magic? As I'm examining the hammer, do I get a sense of the area around me having been enchanted or in some ways imbued with magic? Or is it just the hammer?
Yes, you do. There's trees nearby have been touched by magic. Its nature appears to be, I have to check, but college works with plants, I guess, maybe I'll miss, but they have been shaped to move away from and provide shelter in a certain way, or move away from the path.
Let me see here. Schools of magic, animism, elementalism, mentalism, and then general magic.
You think it's some sort of form of general magic or elementalism? Probably general magic. It was used to shape the tree.
Wind, water, earth, and fire are the elements. Mm-hmm. So earth, I guess, these are some earth elemental magics?
Yes, to affect the tree growth and how it sits up.
Okay. Interesting. Does it in any way feel elvish? Or is that impossible to know?
It is impossible to know, as far as I'm aware. Just that it feels old.
Mm.
Not that in a sense, it's old, but it's almost like it's constantly like almost ritually refreshed over time.
Okay. It's interesting. The only thing that mentions plants is the ensnaring roots spell, which is under animism, where I can turn roots and branches of roots into so then, things that grapple with people.
Then perhaps maybe it is animalism it should be under. There will be later
there's, spell. There's another one called coming into the books. Engulfing Forest is another spell.
Then, then I'll definitely make it an animalist spell. The okay. shape them. And because it is an area, I don't know how big of an area, but you can see an area. You cannot, since you're not holding the actual chainmail, it does not have any enchantment that you can detect.
Okay. Got it.
I don't know if anybody wants to choose to wear the chainmail or not.
Well, I had been wearing it. I wore it out of there, but I'm giving the option to anybody else.
Is it sized for halfling or
no?
Okay,
it is not.
So it's sized only for a regular sized human.
It's going to be sized for not a halfling or a mallard, but probably either a human or an
elf
wolfkin or an elfkin. Might be a possibly get away with wearing it.
Okay, appreciate probably the thought, Dane, but not sized for me.
Well, but I'll hold on to it for now until someone else would like it.
I'm loving this camping out stuff that we do.
It's nice. It's much more preferable than the squalor of the cities.
It is. There's no stink here.
Would be nice, is all Karen says. You know, maybe some lights.
I wish we had squishmallows.
All the adventure stories I read, everybody campers under the stars.
It's truly the best place to be.
There's no stars. I mean, the stars are up there somewhere. All we can see is the canopy of trees above us and maybe the mist that's gathering on the ground and the edges of our camp.
Oh, the trees are magical, by the way. I'm not sure why.
What?
I think they're quite lovely as well.
I was just going to throw that out there. What have we been burning?
I don't know. The souls of some ancient village. I don't know.
That's why you notice all the branches that you found. I mean, literally, they said they were almost like piles of gathered fallen leaves, the fallen branches that were near each area that was ideal for camping. So like they're sort of like someone's almost providing you with the basic wood and kindling without having to go chop any wood down. Mm-hmm. So that could be, you know, a reason.
Oh, good. But
I just, you know, I'm just saying that to kind of gently recommend that we be kind to trees just in case, you know, just saying. I'm a fan. I like the trees.
So, Dane, I mean, if you're keeping the chainmail, just want to let you know, its armor rating is 4.
And it has a bane on sneaking.
And evade.
Only on sneaking.
Only on sneaking.
Not evade. Yeah.
Not evade. Oh, nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll keep it until somebody else needs it.
I think by the time someone else decides they need it, it might be too late.
And the dwarf can tell you that he can adjust it for halflings and whoever else, but he will need to actually have time to do that. If someone else wants to, like, you know, I mean, I'm not sure what our fighter is wearing, but, you know, we'll, because he's,
yeah.
But, you know, I think, yeah, he can tell you that pretty much he can adjust it. That's no problem for something else, for another species, but it doesn't come that way.
We also have that plate armor.
It looks very, very nice, but it's a little noisier than I like to be. So. Yeah,
much the same.
Mm.
We have the huge bundle of very nice plate mail strapped to the back of a miserable beast.
I suspect that would be a bit more noisy than the chainmail for the rest of us.
Well, so the sound of the several hundred gold it is worth.
But
Dane, seems to be what's on the mind of most.
Dane, you should keep the armor. It'll keep you safe.
I'm honored to wear it. I mean, it is a part of history.
That is one thing that does sort of tug at your mind.
What's that?
There are no names.
Yeah, I did look for... I looked for engravings and everything, and there was nothing.
There were no names on the tomb. She did not give her name, and obviously he didn't give his. If there were names among the family tombs, you didn't see any, or at least, you know, what was left, because they were pretty much
destroyed by the, you know, and there was none on the particular cryptids that were undisturbed. There were no names at all for some reason.
It's strange. Usually when they honor someone like that, it would have names, even almost every culture that I've ever read about.
If they invoke the name of Eladane and even of her weapon. With that in mind, let's go to watches. And who is staying up? Who is sleeping? Who is being vigilant? And who is studying?
I'll take first watch.
I'll take last watch.
I will have the fox scout for me while I'm on watch in the middle watch.
Aflac.
Okay. You will slip off the watch.
Aflac.
The night deepens. The fog does seem to gather only at the edge of camp. And you, if you keep the fire lit, it remains there.
Yeah, we'll have a more of a, we'll keep a small fire going.
You do notice as it sort of slowly goes out, the mist just sort of creep in, and then as it's lit again, it just sort of seems to just dissipate off. But the evening passes without incident.
Hooray!
Yay!
Do people wake up, people?
Next morning dawns.
It's dawn. Wake up, people.
Your companion has found something. He doesn't think it's important, but he thinks maybe you think it's important because it's what's left of a walker. Of a two-leg.
I will definitely be interested. Excuse me for one moment. Our little friend has found something.
You'll all be woken up to the smell of frying pork belly.
It is a delight having you here, Dane. I mean, this morning, at least.
I had to learn how to cook. Clean and a bunch of things.
Oh, yeah. You can clean, too.
Yeah, here, being a Jew. Being an apprentice.
And these here. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Dane will clean them.
Oh, great, great. He just said it's over here, and he's leading you through. It's off the path. He didn't think that he needed to be on the path at all, because, well, he doesn't use paths. So you think maybe you should probably tell him that in the future. He was like, no, over this thing, and go around here. And you're like, okay. But it turns out it does sort of end up close back to the path, is a sort of large log. And he said, and he sort of like, I guess the sense he can give, I don't know, but I'm not sure how they communicate. Let me check myself before I.
And while he's looking that up, when you do a shift rest, like overnight, like we did, then you get all, regain all lost HP and willpower and heal all conditions.
So if you're hit points?
Angry, you're exhausted, or whatever, then you clear all that.
How many hit points can you recover?
I think you regain all of them.
Nice. Okay.
Yep. All hit points, all willpower.
Okay, so he doesn't actually really speak to you as far as just ensuring that he's found something.
Yeah.
And you follow him, and that appears to be a skeleton. It's lying face down.
Good.
And its skull appears to be in fragments.
Is it a human, elf, dwarf?
You think human.
And does it look like it's been here like days, weeks, months, centuries?
Your bushcraft's 14.
12, but yeah.
12. Oh, man, it's still good enough to know that, you know, if a body had been here a while, what would happen here by a log? This skeleton does not look like it has, like it, I mean, it's old and dead and so forth, but it has not been here very long at all.
But it is largely intact.
Like last night, you know, maybe kind
of thing. Oh. Is there a sign of it, of having wandered about?
Why don't you give me a spot hidden or something? Some sort of investigative skill, I guess.
A 3.
Okay. You have the impression that it did. It was, because I mean, the way the grass and the grass under it is bent and so forth, that it was walking and or moving at some pace before it was felled. Inside the shattered skull, you can see what appears to be a sling stone. And while most of its gear is rotting or decayed, it does have the belt and the satchel patch attached to it appears to be in good condition.
Well, I will inspect those.
The belt is in good condition, and so is the satchel pouch. The satchel pouch is secured by a small little lock that's attached.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the clasp is secured with the latch. I'm sure it's mm-hmm. not like attached to the skeleton. So I'm going to take it mm-hmm. off the skeleton, still closed.
Okay.
And then call my companions over or return to them and lead them to the...
You'll probably have to return to them because it's yeah. going to be... But you could definitely use a trail and get there easily enough.
Yeah. I will return to the camp and my friends, we've found something in the woods I think you should see.
Ooh, what's that?
Is it eggs? That'd be really great with this.
Definitely was not eggs.
Boo.
More along the marrow variety.
Ooh. Bone marrow is always good, but we have plenty.
Yes, well, you can see the origins of this right this way, if you please.
Well, Dane has a great deal of cleaning to do, so I'll just go. This dish is there, I mean, you know. Be it here. I hope it's not too much trouble.
You mean the piece of bark that we've been eating off of?
Oh.
I like my plate.
How rustic. Yes, just leave it.
Just throw shit in the fire.
Do you guys all go, or do you leave? I mean, you have, I mean, I guess the rest of the party that is here, but not here. So Balor and Corgan can remain behind if you guys want to go.
All right, sure. We'll go.
How far away is it?
So we'll call it a few hundred meters. Yeah. I couldn't call out for you.
Okay. Mm.
So it's about a few hundred meters. So you're nowhere near the camp. You cannot see or hear the camp, or there's no way of seeing it from or having access to it. But you do come across a very large log. This is the first time, actually, like most times you guys have seen, you haven't really seen any full trees down. This one, there is one, which appears to be like another one of those sort of encampment areas that are made. It was obvious this log was left here for people to use. It fell, probably, you think, from lightning or something. But beside it, there is a skeleton of what appears to have once been a human lying face down, though you suspect it doesn't have much of a face considering half its skull has been shattered.
Hmm.
You want us to eat this bone marrow? Is that like an elf thing?
No, we don't wish to eat it.
Can I look around the scene to see if there's any tracks? Or
yeah, give me a spot hidden or a bushcraft to try and tracks.
All right.
May I do that as well, Mo?
Exactly. You may. And you may sniff the air and see what you
I'm going to use spot hidden.
Okay.
I did I succeeded.
I failed by one.
I made mine by two.
So it seems to have been felled by a sling stone.
That's basically yes. You don't find any particular other, anything at all there much as far as quivering. As far as visual that you can spot, it does look like the body was moved after it fell. But then again, you realize also the very fact that something's odd about that. Dane, mm-hmm. you too, like Siggy, realize that it was not here probably last night, or probably not the night before. Like it fell sometime recently in this place, and it was probably walking. And you made a bushcraft?
I made a spot hidden.
Spot hidden, yes. It does look like it was like something has been taken from it, but that's all you can really tell. Like it had been slightly moved when it was on the ground, but that's it.
Curious.
And Siggy, did you do a bushcraft to find tracks?
Yes. Okay. I passed the bushcraft.
Okay. It apparently you have a path where it did actually cross, was crossing the clearing. You also find the tracks of two other individuals.
Does it seem to be human-sized? Or?
Their slim tread makes you think, well, at least one was elven and the other a halfling.
Yeah, we'll relay this to the companions. It seems we were not alone in the this woods last night. Amongst the walking skeletons, it seems there have been an elf and a halfling may have been the ones hunting.
Your impression is like almost pursuing it, is what you were thinking. Because basically they stopped and then turned back into the woods at a point, probably when the skeleton fell.
May I take a look at the stone? The stone that was used to
pluck it right out, yeah.
Hey, brains? Mm. Do you smell blood on this?
Yeah, I'll take a sniff. Do I see any blood? Do I smell any blood?
You don't see any blood, and there's only a slight hint of any, and it's old. There's also the sound of, the best way to put it is maybe sandalwood. And maybe a little beeswax.
Smells nice.
The stone is, you know, I mean, you look at it, it is a very nice. I mean, it's a nice, you know, like nicely kept sort of smoothed out sling stone.
Oh, okay. So this is an obvious weapon.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was just, I wanted to make sure that it was a stone that was used to fell a skeleton, not used to fell a human.
Mm. And you can smell a halfling on it, you think. Mm. Definitely a halfling. Not the ones here. But you could probably, with this stone, be able to eventually track down the person.
Mm.
You're certain of it. You're absolutely certain. You can do this.
I will actually.
You on a cloudy day.
I'll actually spend the willpower points to see if I can just to grab that scent and hold it in my enormous brain.
And meanwhile, amongst its the skeleton's meager possessions were this belt and this satchel. The satchel is locked. I've not attempted to open it myself, but perhaps we should take a moment to have a look.
Looks fairly new for that dusty old skeleton. Result that Karen says.
I've not any magic ability myself, but if others would like to investigate further.
No. Not me.
I could take a look.
Brain?
Yeah?
You have sticky fingers. See what you can do about that lock.
He's just going to smash it.
I'm very, very good at lock. Hey, I'm very good at I have magic fingers.
Okay.
That's what I've been told.
So why don't you give me a sleight of hand roll at a bane?
Ooh, at a bane. That'll screw me up.
Yeah.
So the first one roll with a 12. Yeah, second roll is a 16. My sleight of hand is a 14. So I am extremely frustrated and angry at the stupid thing because it's embarrassing me.
So you're going to push it?
Yeah, I'm going to push it.
All right.
Ooh, 4 and 12. Yeah.
So people are looking at me.
Yeah, people are looking at me. The stupid fucking...
Who's a good boy, Branch? Who's a good boy?
So eventually... And you're certain he's going to break it at any second, but suddenly the latch falls away, open... And the pouch is open.
The inevitable quivering. I just didn't want to be on the receiving end of any unusual traps this undead creature might have had.
Mm. Here you go. Yeah, the two.
If there's one thing I know, it's that Brains has more brains than the skeleton.
Not by much.
10 times as much.
So, inside, you do find two types of objects. One is a letter sealed with wax, and the other appears to be a bundle of 7 candles. And from the smell of them, you think they're made of beeswax, as opposed to tallow.
Does it smell like the wax is on the rock?
No.
Bullet?
Okay. No, it does not. I mean, yes, it was beeswax. Well, so yes, it does. but not the same. I mean, it's like they're both beeswax. One
appears like to Western be like a polished. Bees and like Eastern bees.
It's one appears to be made to be a polish. And the other one appears to be what the candles are made of. Just sort of thing. It's very similar though.
Okay.
But yeah, but you don't think he was rubbing the rock on the candles? No.
As you do.
As one does. And there are 7 beeswax candles and 1 letter.
Would anybody like me to take a look at that letter?
Or the seal on the letter first, see if you recognize the
sigil. The seal letter appears to be either a M or a W set on its side.
Mr. Fancy Man, Mr. Fancy Reading Man.
And the candles, if using myths and legends, would I be able to try and discern whether the candles had a ritualistic significance, perhaps?
You could try. Yeah, you could make a roll for that, I guess. There are 7 of them.
Basically, I poked myself in the eye with it. I got a 20.
Oh, a demon.
Uh-oh.
You are nuts.
Let me look at this candle. Ow, son of a bitch!
You break one of the candles. Well, let me roll d6. You end up breaking 2 of the candles as you drop them. And discern nothing. As far, you're not sure it's anything involving it. If it is, you know what it is. It's clumsiness or something. It's sort of the witchcraft that's involved here. As far as the wax, the symbol on the wax seal, it looks like this.
Oh.
Mm. All right. 3.
So, may I see that?
We obviously show it to you. Yeah.
Okay. And he'll just take it and rip it open.
You just break the seal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're written in a steady and strong calligraphy. Here's a simple, a very short letter. Reading in, I guess, the common tongue.
Boring.
Be vigilant, you mad bugger. For it is said, the Kavago, the mysterious, seeks to steal the book of Sigga's enigma. While the source made no mention at Vindegard, you should prepare, nonetheless. We may not be the only ones aware of its value. Keep the tome secure, or I'll have Farosh bring me your liver. With waning tolerance, and that symbol again, P.S. I included candles to brighten up that dark tower. Enjoy. And that ends and includes the letter.
That's very friendly.
How's he expect to get a liver from a skeleton?
It wasn't a skeleton when he got the note.
Well, the book is missing.
Perhaps the skeleton was delivering the message?
Ooh, that's an idea.
I mean, he didn't open the letter, obviously.
Mm.
It was locked.
Was there a sign of the elven halfling footsteps coming to the skeleton, or did they just...
They just downed it and turned away.
Yeah. So the skeleton was left undisturbed following its untimely second end.
No. No, it was disturbed. There was something it had, and it's been moved.
No, that was probably the belt. Now that you realize it, she had
it. Oh, yeah. Well.
Sorry.
Is there anything special about the belt? Does it appear any unusual characteristics?
But no, the leather pouch does not particularly be distinctive as far as craftsmanship. It is not what anyone would call a masterwork. It just appears to be just a functional basic pouch. The lock is the only thing that seems maybe above par, but maybe just brain was just terrible at locks.
And the belt is just a normal belt? I missed
belt is just there. A normal belt.
Mm-hmm. Well... We have the option of continuing westwards until we try and find this oracle, or we can investigate the source of this skeleton's demise.
There are some things I will tell you right now. They'll be understood by some of you. I'm sorry. For Quiverring.
Yes.
Kavago the Mysterious is a mage. Well, that is the one thing that all the stories and rumors seem to agree upon, but little else. Where they are from, what their kin is, what is their primary school of magic study, are all a mystery and often confused and changed around and switched. But there is their trademark sigil, which is known among most magical communities. You've actually even seen examples, illustrations of the sigil.
That's the symbol you showed us.
No. He's just very different and very elaborate. For Carvago the Mysterious, because he likes to be mysterious, and that's his whole thing. And that basically, he usually leaves it after his adventures somewhere, either big and large, like one time it was in the whole entire side of a castle, the other one it was as small that it fit within the pocket of, you know, of one of the people there. Though if someone tries to duplicate, usually something bad happens, but we don't go into that. That's just what you know, what you've heard. He is known to be a crafty and a very good-natured mage, he or she, they.
Mm-hmm.
He is no friend of evil, but has been known to make some pretty questionable deals.
Okay, yeah, anything for the craft. I get that.
Yeah. Dane. Yes.
And just to be clear, he's the one who was sending the note. No, the he's note the one says, that was to receive the note.
For it is said that Carvargo, the Mysterious, seeks to steal the book.
Oh, I see. Okay. 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 Got it. Okay.
Now,
thank
for
you.
Dane, Sigar, Enigma is quite the prize. Sigar Deepsight was a scholar who specialized in the gathering and analyzing and on occasion dispelling of mysteries. The book of Sigar's enigmas was said to contain the mysteries that vexed her and the secrets that were discovered but were not meant for common men to know. It is believed that only one was in existence, and it was lost decades ago in a great fire. Most scholars are aware of her work, but few have ever actually had a chance to even see the enigma, and most are greatly prized it as something to possess. It also should probably contain information from old empires and new secrets and so forth. Not really new, but, you know, possibly. She was really good at what she did before her death.
When did she die?
She died about maybe 20 years ago.
Oh.
And the book disappeared about 10 years after her death, after her fire.
I'll point that out in the note. It's like, this is a very sought after an extremely rare book that holds a lot of great knowledge. People in my order would kill or die for it.
Book stuff.
Yeah. Carvalho, by the way, and I'll tell this to the rest of the group, not a bad guy. If he was coming after the book, probably it's because the people who currently held the book weren't on the up and up either. Or maybe they had
nefarious intent.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to go so far as to say they were evil, but maybe, you know, if they were reasonable folks, he probably would have tried to get it in a different way.
Obviously, they're not reasonable. That book belongs in a library. Out in some dismal swamp.
Now, did it appear the skeleton was running, or was it perhaps just casually strolling? It's tracks.
You think it might be, well, skeletons aren't the best runners anyway. So you think it was moving at its best acceptable undead speed. But you can tell it was making, you know, based on its movements, it was not making an attempt to stand or fight. But then again, skeletons are usually set to do a particular task. As far as you know.
So I suspect this was merely running an errand for its master. But this still leaves us with the two choices of find out what felled it and why, or continue on to the Oracle.
Well, it would be nice to know where this book is. I would very much like to get my hands on it.
Well, their trail appears to lead off that way. Is that roughly in the direction we're headed, or no?
Sure. Yes. Conveniently enough, it is in the direction that you're headed, it seems. It's still further westward. Yes, actually it is, though, yep.
Well, shall we pursue them?
Seems right now the two paths overlap, so certainly.
I'm sorry. Let me just ask another question. You were asking about following the elf and the halfling, or
yes, the path and the halfling.
No, they are not.
Oh. Sorry. So the path the skeleton came was from the west.
No, the path the skeletons headed was heading west. They came, followed it, and returned back eastward.
Oh.
Okay. So the skeleton was heading west. The skeleton was heading the direction that we're heading.
Yeah.
So
his vanquishers were not.
I personally have no use for a book, but I'll do. You know, we're doing pretty well so far. So I'm up for whatever you guys want to do. If you want to go to find the oracle, whatever that is.
If I'm reading this note correctly, the skeleton was taking this letter to the person who has the book,
which would be to the west.
Maybe the book is in the oracle.
In a tower somewhere.
Shall I read the book again? I mean, letter again? Excuse me.
Yes, please.
Sure.
Okay. It reads, Be vigilant, you mad bugger. For it is said that Carvargo the Mysterious seeks to steal the book of Sigga's Enigma. While the source made no mention of Vindegard, you should prepare nonetheless. We may not be the only ones aware of its value. Keep the tome secure, or I'll have Frosk bring me your liver. With waning tolerance, symbol, P.S., included some candles to brighten up the dark tower. Enjoy.
So I suspect the dark tower then would be the destination to the west.
What is Vindegard?
Why don't you make me a... You can make me a myth and legend roll.
I will do so.
At a bane.
At a bane.
I would do the same.
Well, then why don't we work together?
Yes. There we go. We can cancel out the bane.
I will assist you.
Yours might be higher.
Okay, then you assist me. All right, missing legends. Here we go.
On our map that we have, Malcolm, is there a dark tower to the west on the map?
Not on the map. That's listed now.
Wow. I rolled twin 15s, and my myth and legends is a 14. Two dice.
You know nothing.
Yeah, both of mine missed. So, yeah.
We've never heard of the tower.
Okay. So I did note that there is a tower in one of the locations of the statuettes in the rumors. There is one might be in one of the pieces of the statue might be in a tower. It's in a disgusting bog. It's an ancient watchtower called the Tower of Size. Do I know anything about that?
You can just give me a standard roll, I guess. That'll give you how much information we actually can pull in that, I think.
Okay. I rolled a 4, so yes. By 10.
Of course. Let me find the tower.
Of course, I just failed the last roll.
The Tower of Size. Okay.
I mean, these might be unrelated. It's just a thought.
Yeah, let me just sort of give you an idea what the Tower of Size consists of. What you do know is that basically it is now inhabiting what is called the Haunted Marshes. It was built during the time of the Dragon Empire as an outpost against the wilderness. After the fall of the Empire, what it became is unknown.
Okay. Do we know where the Haunted Marshes are?
And the Haunted Marshes, though, are far, far to the east. Oh. East of even outskirts.
So, totally not in the direction we're going.
No, the only thing... You do know there's some sort of towering spire to the north, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you guys continue west, it will be directly north. Right now, it's northwest of you in the forest. But you can give me a... why don't you give me a Miss Legends for that tower, you...
Must, okay. Demon. I actually rolled. That's my first demon I've rolled.
Hey, mark it on your sheet.
I did. Yeah, I don't know anything about that tower.
You think it's that way, maybe that, you're not really sure. But you think that tower may have fell or something. You think it was still, you don't really know. You know nothing about that tower.
Well, shall we just continue west then?
I think we should. It matches the destination of this messenger, and
maybe we'll find a tower we don't know about. Or we can ask the Oracle about it if we find them.
Maybe the Oracle lives at the tower.
Well, that would be convenient. Well, that would explain how it worked. I mean, it's kind of like just a little charlatan. She's been reading out of that damn book this entire time. Wait, she's been around since before the Empire. Well, anyway, maybe she's keeping up on current affairs by having the book if it's her. Is all that Karen says. It slips. Anyway, you continue west, following the easy path that's laid before you through the Iron Forest. Then its pathways begin veering south, which means you'll probably have to go off the path to continue west.
Are we still in the same basic environment as before?
Mm-hmm.
The environment doesn't change much. We're still in the Iron Forest.
The Iron Forest is pretty large, yeah.
About what time of day is it?
We'll say this is about midday when it starts to veer. I mean, you can it goes west for a while, but then begins to veer south. And it's up to you to determine if you want to stay. And I mean, as the Pathfinder. I'm sorry. Yeah. Let me just put this one way. Probably, I'll be honest, it'd probably only be, you know, this with some item with the bushcraft above 10 that would notice that we're sort of on this sort of like easy cart path. I mean, like a sort of wilder path, art path to begin with. But yeah, it is slowly veering southward.
May I use a heroic ability?
Yes, convince me. Why? What are we doing?
Well, as we're walking, I'm scouring the books I have and looking at the letters and trying. And I would like to use intuition.
You may ask a question.
Studying the books I have, the ancient map, the notes we've gathered, I'd like to know the direction to the Oracle.
Direction of Oracle would be still further west and then heading southward.
Okay. So basically, like, I'd have the map and I'd be like drawing points and then, you know, crossing them out to get where I think that I want to go. So, oh, here's a rumor here. Here's a hint here. Here's an indicator here. And then just draw a line all through them, thinking that this is the most probable vector we'll travel along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show that to Siggy, and I said, this is the best I can tell from the notes that I have where the Oracle lies.
And from that discernment, you could go south now and then have to go a great distance west to continue west and then just go south shortly. It's almost like a square. You're literally diagonally from it. A diagonal march would still take you west, and that'd be in south. You can take a more direct path is what you could do.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through the woods, but you don't know how much more difficult it would be going through the woods, leaving the path, though.
I would like to have the fox, which I will name Idun, to range out basically in circles ahead of us to try and find any semblance of any path or trail or even, you know, signs of people living somewhere.
Okay.
Just to help us narrow our cone down.
All right. Well, he's happy to be away because he really hates the miserable beast, and miserable beast despises him. So, Idun, scouts ahead, doing a circle, moving around, looking for paths. He does, I mean, there is some wariness as far as, you know, finding a path for the donkey, but doesn't care. Anyway, he goes off.
The two legs.
After a little while, you can, Jimmy, you can either wait or to his returns, but he does return. He has found a way. It's a very open way through these trees. Even if for the fat ugly dog.
Then I will absolutely follow.
I'm sorry, he would call it the diseased moose.
Yes.
If we come across a large bird at some point, I will ask the group to take a stretch, if at all possible. I'd like to ask a bird a question or two.
No, that's completely normal.
Yep.
Says Curran. I mean, yes, just go ask the pigeons and all the birds and the sparrows.
Pigeon's too small. I need something that ranges far afield. A hawk or something with excellent eyesight. If we happen to see one in a tree
along the way. So shall we follow Dune's path?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Follow the fox.
All right. Typical as ever, Dune. It starts off a bit kind of, he forgot. Oh, wait, now I remember that we're going to be walking by it. So the first part is kind of brambly, but you do get through there, and there's a path where you guys can, he finds a sort of deer track. Which is, you know, of course, miserable beast has not at least been happy about any of this. And then there's murder in his eyes, the fox. But you guys managed to, and Corinne's right in the same feeling, but you guys get through and you follow the trail. And it's about maybe, is it about noon, you guys, and that thing? Or say it's about early evening, you're about maybe like, you know, 5 hours before dusk, like, I mean, 4 hours before dusk. I think, what day of the year did you make this, Nathan? I forgot.
Oh, I think I said spring, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think spring. I thought
you said spring. Okay, so you've got about like 3 to 4 hours before dusk, before sunsets. When you break out of, basically sort of emerge from the tree line into a glade, which is dominated by a calm, dark lake. Its waters only slightly move, and the breeze, and they are almost, it looks almost black in its deep depths. Along its northern shore, there's a thick crop of trees, which are gnarly and intertwined and growing into the sky, and that appear to have overgrown an ancient tower. You could even clearly see some of the trees growing out of the upper floors and the upper windows of that tower.
Hmm.
Hmm.
We found the tower.
We found a tower.
How many towers do you think there are around here, Siggy?
There could be thousands. There was like a whole empire here at one point in time.
I mean, we know of at least
three. But this seems pretty far-fetched. Yes. I mean, like, how far do you send skeletons? Well, I guess pretty far, because they don't need to rest. Huh. Interesting.
I'm afraid we have no way of knowing, but perhaps we should scout it out for signs of habitation.
I like it.
Yeah,
let's look around.
Why don't you have a Dune scout it out while we make camp?
I shall have a Dune wander off to see if he can scent any active neighbors.
He will slip off. He will first stop at the lake and take a drink, and then move around the shore towards the north, towards the trees. But he does come back in a bit. Are we making camp here?
Yeah, sure.
So that'd be great. You could write all that. I'll just get in the way. Here, let me help a lyre and I'll play you a work song. Here's not a work song.
I'll try my hand at fishing in the lake.
Okay. But he does return. He asked him to see if he can find a path and could smell things. Yes. This is
answer. I made an 11 on my bushcraft roll to set up camp.
Yes, the camp is set up securely and you've got food set up. I'm sorry, what did you say, Chris?
I didn't say anything. Okay. Tim said.
I'm going to try my hand at fishing and I think just make Brains wants to fish with me. Is that right?
Okay, just make a hunting fishing.
Yeah. Roll. So am I doing it?
And ooh, I rolled a 2.
Okay.
Nice.
I did really well with my fishing. I have it at 13.
Okay. And then you just make another roll to... Well, okay. It's not really a trap. Oh, you're not really fishing. Killing it with a weapon.
I rolled a 5. So,
your fishing is successful. Just roll me a
D4.
D4. I'm assuming you're using fishing rods, right?
Yes, 2.
You catch 2 food rations worth of fish.
2 food rations worth of fish.
I'll use bushcraft to cook those suckers up.
The only thing that's very interesting about
the fish roll a four.
Is they're pale in color, but ebony-eyed.
Ebony-eyed?
Yes. And they smell delicious when you cook them up.
Ebony-eyed?
No, oh, I'll try my
hold hand. On a second. I'm going to do beast lore. I'm going to do a quick beast lore on ebony-eyed fish. Made it. Oh, my zero. I made it right on.
There is said to be a fish that resides in a black lake known as Eben Hoistra. They are sweet like the waters are. The ominous lake was said to be sweet to the taste and safe to drink.
That's
and
it?
And is the shadow of a tower. That's it.
Oh, and they're called Ebony what?
No, the lake is called Eben Hoistra, and they were just called Eben Hoistras as well, which just means ebon.
Okay. It
means
okay.
You know, blood.
All right.
But they were not it was considered a rare fish.
Mm-hmm.
It was rarely seen, and these, as far as these sort of black lakes, they appear in a number of places besides the Misty Vale itself. How they, if they're all connected is unknown, but they're always impossibly deep.
Interesting.
So I'm going to keep watch on the tower to see if I can see signs of, you know, habitation, life, movement, torches.
The thing is, the whole bottom of the tower cannot be seen by the you know, the crisp of gnarly trees all around it. You can only see the upper floors.
That's fine. Smoke.
But you can watch them. Okay. And the fox does return with a pathway, but it is twining and twisting, is, you know, there appears to be a lot of sort of coiling roots that are above ground and low branches that are sort of intertwining. It is almost as if the trees are all one as opposed to separate. They're so intermingled in their growth.
Well, I'll give him a share of my dinner ration and tell him to find a safe place to rest.
He will head back in the tree line, away from the clearing.
Safely away from miserable beast.
Yes, he'll sort of baze at him, you know, relentlessly until he leaves the actual clearing. But it is late in the evening when you actually see a wisp of smoke coming from the upper area of the tower. And some, maybe some light. So like where they, like one of the trees that are growing out of the of a window, you can see a little bit of light and some smoke coming out of there. Since you were looking for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't last long, but it's there.
I'll return to the camp and inform the other members of the party that the tower does indeed seem to be occupied.
Well, that would make sense if the skeleton was on the way to bring the note.
Assuming this was its destination.
And Dan, you can now make me another Mystery and Legends roll since Quivering has discovered the name of the lake.
I have hit it exactly. So yes.
You suddenly recall that's what it was. Vindigard was an abandoned tower on the edge of the Eben Hoistra, the dark pool that was supposed to be somewhere in the Iron Forest, matching one that was in other forests and areas as well. They're all believed to be somehow connected by deep aquifers or some sort of strange aquifer that doesn't follow the normal nature of water under the earth. It's very odd. Deep wells. You made it by just exactly, I guess?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. All you do recall is that it was being built by the, and it was abandoned before it was finished construction. It was supposed to be being built during, you know, the waning days of the Dragon Realm. And due to the Dragon Realm's internal strife that ravaged the kingdom, it was not completed. They apparently had, as far as you recall history, the vaults in the Starcatcher Tower was said to be
which is considered more important than completing this tower. And that tower was supposed to be where they kept, you know, precious artifacts from the Dragon Age.
Okay. But this tower looks complete.
No, this tower is not does not look complete. It looks like ruins. Doesn't. Okay. You can't. The thing is, if it stopped construction and fell apart, you can't really tell until you get closer to it.
Okay.
But that, according to the legend, the Vingar was a tower that was not finished.
All right, I'll share that information with everyone.
You know it is not the Starcatcher Tower because it does not glitter like silver and moonlight, though you don't have a moon, but you know. So, you saw movement in there, possible life, and you have loosely possibly identified this as the Vingard. The tower mentioned in the letter by those trying to hold Sigurd's enigma, a tome of secrets, out of the hands of others.
All right.
I say, if we sleep here tonight, I suggest we go without fire this particular evening.
That seems like a horrible idea.
I agree as well.
But I don't.
Which part, the horrible idea or the fine idea?
Ooh, she can be bait. Why don't we set up a campfire for her over there?
During the day, while I was making food, I did warm up these stones that you can take into your tent with you.
Oh, you are a dear. Can you carry them in there? I'm really not good at carrying things. And you seem really good at it. I would just mess it all up. Oh, you're such a dear. Thank you. Put them right
in a sleeping room.
Oh.
I read all about this. You're supposed to put them, you sleep with them, and they're great. And I imagine about an hour or so later, I'll probably fetch the bucket of water to put the fire out of the sleeping roll.
Just let her go.
Sorry. I forgot that part where you're supposed to put them in a metal pan. You're supposed to put them in a metal pan. That's how it goes. I forgot that part.
We'll end there with the night coming. As having arrived at nightfall, as you guys camp out in a fireless night by the dark lake known as Ebenhorstra, and to the north there is a crossbow of trees where sticks out the remaining entangled tower of Vingard. I guess it's like Vindegard. It's like Vindegard, sorry. Vindegard.
Von Mundegard?
Now say it like the Swedish chef.
Me and the guard. No.
All right. Thank you for an excellent game, Malcolm.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Thanks, no problem.
Thank you.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yes. If only we could get Sean through the sensitivity lessons.
You know, I think if we had to send Sean to sensitivity lessons, the person running them would quit.
That's just a possibility.
The person running the sensitivity lessons?
Yeah. Like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'm out.
Maybe just days from retirement. You know how that goes.
That's only 2 days from retirement.
Retirement, I gotta go!
They've got a crazy off-the-wall partner.
Four would-be heroes arrive in the town of Breach Hill, destined for glory, but doomed for pandemonium. A paladin with a no-nonsense attitude, a ranger with murderous intent, a sorcerer fueled by his own ego, and a cleric just trying to make some coin and keep them alive. All of this and more on the Dragon Punch Squad podcast.
Oh, yeah, but yeah. The week before when I was out, did you guys run
them? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I have some catching up to do. Mm-hmm.
Little bit.
Okay.
Little bit.
You did great things.
We're all alive, except for your character.
Meh. What you didn't know was that he wasn't alive to start with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so he's
married? A beholder duck.
He's a duck romancer. Wait a minute.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
That's really not.
Well,
Let's begin with going over some advancements now that we are done with that.
Okay.
Yep. We did not encounter anything
to fight, so.
Fight.
Yes. Did you participate in the game?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Did you explore a new location?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you defeat one or more dangerous adversaries?
I did.
No.
That was hunting. He was not dangerous if you didn't poke him.
Well, if I didn't kill him, he would have attacked
me. I defeated a fish.
Yeah, no, we're going moving on. Did you overcome an obstacle without using force?
Yeah, I did not eat the dwarf.
I would say yes, you did get the lock open despite you getting angry.
Mm. All right.
Well,
you did find a path.
Mm.
Did you give in to your weakness?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, excellent. All right. And of course, those skills that you have marked because of demons and dragons should also be noted. That will be an advancement as far as markers. We need the rolls now, I guess.
Okay.
All right, who's going first?
I'll go first, I guess. All right, I'm going to roll my demon for myths and legends. Nope. I rolled an 8. I am going to roll one for languages. No, I rolled a 2. Maybe I should switch die. I am going to roll one for evade. I rolled an 18. So evade goes up. And I'm going to roll one for bushcraft. I rolled a 3. And the last one is spot hidden. A 5. So just my evade went up.
You can only roll for one skill. One.
Roll more than once for one skill.
Did I roll? What did I roll twice?
No, you just.
Yeah. I was just asking.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Can I go next?
Sure.
Two.
Spot hidden. Failed. Sneaking. Failed. Animism succeeded. And healing failed. Okay.
I will go next. I'm going for awareness. Ooh, a 20. Made that one.
Nice.
Better get it out now.
Yeah. Next is bushcraft. That's a miss. Next is evade. Evade is a miss. And my demon for myths and legends. And that's an 18. So that's a success.
All right.
I need to find a friendly mage. I'm not going to learn any spells if I can't find a friendly mage. You guys didn't make another mage. There's no, other mages in the game.
Maybe you need to find
the guy in the town. The old guy who talks like this,
he can teach us.
That dude. We're going to go back to that town so that I can talk to the gummy mage.
So I think I'm rolling for 3 different things.
Get your sweet ass over here.
I'm going for sneaking first.
It's Drunath.
And I've succeeded. I rolled a 19. And we're going to roll for spot hidden. I only have a 5, so it should be easy. I rolled 11. And roll for bows, which I have a 14 right now, and I rolled a 4. Mm. So I go up in 2 things.
All right. Mm.
Can I stop and save my audio at this point?
Yeah, we can stop. And if everybody's still watching, thank you so much. And
thank we'll you so much. You We're so glad you were able to watch us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Matt, the co-host of the Advanced Age Role-Playing Gamers podcast, and you've been listening to our latest actual play, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, using the Dragonbane TTRPG from Free League Publishing, based on the classic Swedish role-playing game, Drakkar Demoner. If you like what you hear, please follow, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and anywhere else you find podcasts. We also really appreciate feedback and chatting with folks, so feel free to tweet us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a review so we can reach even more people. You can also visit our website at www.theaarpgs.com, where you can read more about the cast, listen to old episodes, and even shop our store for cool Geek Chic merchandise. This story features Malcolm and Nathan as co-GMs. Malcolm will also be playing the role of Karin, a halfling bard. Nathan will be playing the role of Brains, a wolfkin thief. Our players for this story are Tyr as Dane Ringson, a human scholar. Sean as Baylor Banefire, a dwarven smith. Chris as Sigyn, an elven huntress. Anthony as Corgan Stonehammer, a halfling fighter. And Tim as Quiverring, the mallard mage. Character artwork created by Nemesis to Anthony Cupo and friend of the show, Jody P. Schaefer, whose work you may recognize from Metacopolix, Mari Kari, Megas XLR, and MTV's Downtown. Contact him when the time is right. You'll know how and when. Music licensed through Dark Fantasy Studios and SoundCue. Sound effects by Nathan, using Krotos Weaponizer, Studio, and Dehumanizer, using libraries from Boom Library, SoundCue, Krotos, and his own recordings. So thank you again for taking time to sit down with us at our gaming table. And until next time, remember, you're never too old to roll.